Hello, Stephen.
Hi. Hey, Leon. So I just wanted to... Oh, pretty good. I just wanted to let you know that I'm currently recording this. In case I can, like, go back over it later. You know, I think I'm supposed to tell you, otherwise it's illegal or whatnot.
Cool. No problem. Thanks for letting me know.
Okay. I had a lot of questions, right? Now that I think about it, doing this over the phone is probably a lot easier. You know, you don't have to type it all out and whatnot.
It takes me specifically a long time to sometimes put my thoughts on paper. It might be easier on the phone, yeah.
Okay, cool, great. The discussion on Reddit was actually, it's helped a lot. You know, there are a couple people that have both Tri-Skates and the Wizard frames. I understand a lot better now. They've been helpful, you know, and they have typed out quite a lot. The Reddit thread's pretty long now. I'll just kind of go back through things that, you know, I just sort of want your take on. You know, obviously you designed the frames, so you know them better and that sort of thing. But, when I was first, and I think, like I said, you know, in the background, I'm just planning on picking up skating. You know, I did it a while back when I was younger. I don't have a super high budget. Enough that I can buy a nice pair of skates, but I want it to sort of be the kind of skating that I'm interested in, and so that I only have to do it once, right? And then, of course, if I stay with it for a long time and I get good, I can buy more. So I just sort of wanted to figure out whether I wanted to start with the Wizard frames or start with Tri-Skates. That was sort of where I was coming from. Something that the Reddit people said. So initially I was kind of confused on how, cause Sean, the Sean who also works at Shop Task, he has this really good video explaining how frames work. Right. And basically the idea is the longer the frame is, the harder it is, you know, the longer turning radius it has and, the harder it is to, you know, less maneuverable. Right. Based on that, I was sort of wondering, you know, okay, well, the Wizard skates have the rocker, and my initial thought was, well, if you're only ever on two wheels, then that's a pretty short, you know, a short front wheelbase. But the Reddit people said that when you actually put your weight on the skates, you're on three wheels. It's just one of them has less weight, because the wheels deform under your weight a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess that would be different for every user because, you know, if you're 300 pounds versus someone who's 100 pounds,
right,
you get different wheel compression. And it would also depend on the wheel. But technically, you're always, for the most part, even if you have a flat frame, if you're skating on uneven surface, you're never going to really be on all your wheels.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be, you know, if there's a little bump in the ground and your front wheel is on that bump, then, like, maybe your middle wheel doesn't touch or something like that. So... and the Wizards, like, the rocker is so subtle, you don't even notice what, you know, if your wheels are touching the ground. Maybe they don't have, your front wheel might be, like, touching the ground at a certain point, but it might not have the weight on that wheel.
Right, yeah. I mean, and I think where I was confused, and again, I haven't skated, you know, not seriously ever. You know, I did more, like, fitness-type stuff when I was in, like, middle school. It's been a while ago. So I think some of these questions are just coming out of ignorance. You know, if I had skated more, they'd be more obvious. But something else the Reddit people said was that even if you skate on a flat frame, this is sort of the idea behind the natural rocker, your outer wheels wear. And so... the more you skate, you know, your middle wheels will actually technically be, you know, they'll have a bigger radius. They won't wear as fast, which means that these skates develop a rocker over time anyway. And so the Wizard frames sort of have that out of the box. And I think that makes more sense now. But the big thing I wanted to confirm is when you're on the Wizard frames, you know, of whatever wheel size, you're typically on three wheels in some respect. You know, you may have weight distributed across those differently, but it's not like you're on two wheels at a time. Is that correct?
I would say if anything, you would be kind of on, yeah, I guess in a way you would be, technically you should still be on two wheels, but in a lot of situations you'll be on three wheels.
Yeah.
If that one of the wheels kind of compresses enough. But it's, you know, it's something that's going to be so difficult to really check. And it's,
yeah.
If you're skating on really flat surface and your wheels don't have like major compression, then you're only going to be on two wheels at a time. So there is no, like, unless the wheel compress a lot, there's no really way for you to be on three wheels. But when you go over kind of rougher surface, you know, the contact of the ground changes so quickly. So, like, you know, within 1 second, your second wheel might touch a couple times, your third wheel might touch a couple times. Like, it's always going to kind of, like, go up and down without you really noticing which wheel is touching the ground when the surface is uneven.
Right.
But,
well, I mean, and I think what my first set of questions was sort of getting at was, if you don't always have the wheels on the ground, you know, because when you have really rockered frames like the slalom skates and, you know, the freestyle type stuff, well, they don't, you know, when they don't have that subtle rocker, their skates are pretty unstable once you get up to speed and they get speed wobbles and so on, right? And so,
well, that's different. They're unstable because it's a big rocker, but the big reason is because it's too short of a frame.
Yeah.
So if you think of your body, like if you look at your upper body, think if you're on a pair of skis, you can lean your body really far forward, and because you have such a long base, you'll be able to tilt really far before you tip over. Like, you'll need to lean really, really far to actually, like, tip forward or tip backward.
And so are you saying that stability isn't necessarily about how many wheels you have on the ground, and the distance between the wheels on the ground is just like how long the frame is in general?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I mean,
like your range of motion will only depend on how far the front wheel sticks out and how far the back wheel sticks out when you lean back.
And so those wheels don't even have to be on the ground for you to get the stability from the frame.
Exactly. Like, you would lean back. So when you stand, when you're in like a normal rolling position, you would usually be just on the center wheels. If you're an experienced skater and you're trying to get kind of, so let's say if you're a surfer, you want to be on a specific position on the board to catch the wave.
Right.
If you're not standing in the right position, you're not going to catch the wave. And same thing with the skates. If you, like, a beginner might not know, might not be aware enough if their weight is on the front of the skate or the back of the skate or the center of the skate. So you might be, let's say if you have a flat frame, like three wheels, you think that you're maybe on the center, but your weight might be too heavy on the toes.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you hit a little bump in the ground, if your weight is kind of in front of you, you're going to fall forward right away. Or if your weight is like a little bit more behind you and you're moving backwards, as soon as you hit the little crack in the ground, you're going to fall. Like, you won't have enough time to catch yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and
your range of motion, like, you kind of have to keep your body constantly over your feet. As soon as you, like, put your body too far forward or too far backward, you're going to lose your balance, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, and I guess I was just sort of maybe thinking too much. The Reddit people said, you know, what I was interested in more or less was, you know, when you have the wizard frames, which have a much longer wheelbase, and then the rocker makes them somewhat more maneuverable. Well, I was just trying to see how that stacks up with, let's say you have a 4x80mm frame that's like 243mm, right? And so the wizard frames have a frame of, what, 303 and 333, thereabouts. And so even though you have the rocker on the wizard frames compared to the flat 4x80, the wizard frames are still going to be more stable because it's the length of the wheelbase, not how many wheels are on the ground. Is that right? Okay. And so this was what the Reddit people said. And, you know, the 3x125 skates, those are the other ones I'm sort of interested in. They typically have wheelbases right around like 255, 260-ish, which puts them less than the 100 millimeter Wizard skates and significantly less than the 110s. And so that means that they will be more maneuverable, right? But they'll be less stable. Does that sound right?
The maneuverability will depend on your effective contact. So on a flat three-wheel frame, initially when they're flat, your effective contact will be 255, if it's a 255 type frame.
Mm-hmm.
So from the front wheel to the back wheel, that will be your contact. So like, if you're trying to turn, that your turning radius would be kind of based on that length. Once the wheels wear out, you will get a slight rocker. So any skate that you skate, the outer wheels would slowly wear out faster than the inner wheels. And if you're skating forward, your front wheels would wear out faster than the back. So even on a tri-skate, you will get a rocker slowly. But when you do get a rocker, your effective contact, so you're either going to be on the front two wheels or on the back two wheels on a three-wheel skate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if the distance between the wheels, let's say if all the 125s are tight together, then the distance, your effective contact would be 126, for example.
Right.
Meaning that your effective contact will be longer the larger your wheel is. So an 80 millimeter setup, once the wheels wear out into a rocker, would be more maneuverable because you will be on two wheels and the distance between them would only be 81 millimeters.
So how does that stack up if you're on two wheels on the Wizard frame, like you said, you know, barring, you know, if you're like on flat ground and so on, then you're on two wheels on the Wizard frame versus two wheels on a tri-skate when you develop a rocker. Does that mean that the Wizard frames will actually be more maneuverable than the tri-skate in that situation?
They will be more maneuverable if they have smaller wheels. So the smaller the wheels, say if you have like a tri-skate of 110 versus a Wizard 110, technically, the turning radius would be the same.
If you're on two wheels at a time, and you have the effective contact of 111 millimeters, and...
Yeah, if your effective contact is the same, your turning radius would be the same. It might not mean that it would be... There's a lot of kind of a question of what technique you use. So, with the Wizard frame, because the wheels stick out further back, the maneuverability kind of works a little different too, because you can lean on the back wheel and you're able to, you know, your weight is in a completely different position, so your front wheels are really unweighted.
Yeah.
And this almost like maybe helps you kind of swing quicker into the turn.
Like pivot, right? I mean, a little bit.
No, so with like short frames, when you don't have that range of, you don't have that upper body range of motion. So if you think of your upper body, is the longer your wheelbase, the further forward and the forward back you can lean. And the higher your wheels off the ground are, the further right and further left you can lean.
Right.
So if you want to do more slides, then the taller the wheels, easier it would be to slide. And if it's longer, then it would be easier to lean forward and lean backwards. Even if you watch videos of people skating on three wheels and like try to follow like kind of watch their body language, if they're going too fast, they're almost like crouching because you can see how unstable they are. They're like about to kill themselves at any moment when you go fast.
Yeah.
Unless you have like three wheels that are spaced out more, that you can be a little more relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure this is something you pick up a feel for once you've skated more. It's just I'm trying to sort of figure this out so that when I buy skates, I don't, you know, I want to buy the kind that I'm interested in, right? And so I guess this was mainly where I was getting confused. So if our stability is based on the frame length, like you're saying, and the maneuverability is based
on... Sorry, one second, Steve.
Okay, sure.
Hey, Steven, sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. So what I was... Okay, what I was sort of going to ask about was, you know, this is where I was sort of getting hung up, is that if we have the stability based on the frame length and the maneuverability based on the effective contact, you know, I'm just... So if what you're saying is right, then that means that that when you have skates where you can go on two wheels and have the effective contact from smaller wheels like 110s, and then you have a longer frame weight, then that's why you say that the Wizard frames sort of have the best of both worlds. You know, you have the maneuverability of wheels that are smaller, they give you the smaller effective contact that lets you maneuver better, and then you have the long frame that gives you more front-to-back stability. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly. But that's all it's true if you know how to, if you have the right technique as well.
Right.
The way most people try to turn, they turn with their body. You know, they would like kind of almost like force it, like they would try to push the skate instead of the right technique would be having the weight in the right place on the skate. So if you're turning, if you're moving forward, your weight should always be on the back of the skate. So, kind of like going back to the concept of a surfer, you know, if you want to be in the perfect position, once you have movement forward, you want to have your weight a little bit more back compensate for the speed that you're moving forward.
Right.
So the fast, let's say the bigger the wave, like if a surfer is catching a bigger wave, you need to stand further back. You need to lean further back to compensate for all the speed that's kind of like moving forward. And same thing with skate is when you're moving forward, when you're standing, your weight should be in the center. It should be stable. This way, like gravity is kind of pulling you down and bending your knees, and essentially gravity is helping you bend your knees when you're standing still. When you start moving forward, the correct position would be being a little bit more back to allow your skate to move with the least resistance. Because as soon as you have too much weight on the front of the skate, you have to engage with your lower back muscles, essentially kind of resisting the movement. If you kind of position yourself in the right place, you're not fighting gravity, you're kind of maximizing your position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're going kind of based on this concept, when you're moving, if you use the right technique, so you're moving forward, if you want to turn, your weight is on the back, you're on the correct edges, and then you turn your body, the skate will turn really easy. But if someone is standing on a pair of like standing right on top with the weight in the center and is trying to kind of force the movement, then it might be a question of the lighter the frame, then the easier it would be for them to turn them.
All right. Yeah.
If it's So basically what I'm saying, if it's done in the proper techniques, like, yes, for me or anyone who kind of used the wizard for a little bit, all this information is correct. But for someone who skated 80 millimeter frames all their life, and they're used to turning by maybe in a way lifting their front wheels a little bit, kind of forcing the turn with their body more instead of using your weight and gravity to initiate the turn. Do you ski maybe? Have you skied before?
Have I what? Sorry, can you say that again?
Skied?
No. Yeah, I have not skied. Well, I think I did once, but I was very young. You know, I live in the South. We don't, like Georgia. we don't have ski slopes. No, I have not. Now, something I wanted to ask. Hold on, go on. I mean, I was going to ask, so all this, what you're saying makes sense about the effect of contact and keeping your weight on the back wheels when you turn and technique being important. One of the people on Reddit said, I mean, and again, you know, I just wanted to hear multiple opinions and stuff. They were talking about 3x25s. Let me quote it. It says, all other things equal, 3x125 is always more maneuverable than the NR100 because it's shorter and lighter. And it reacts faster. Would that mean that the person who was saying this, when they were turning, weren't using the technique that you just talked about, maybe? Or
My guess would be they never tried the wizard frame.
The person has both tri skates and the wizard frame. So the person answering. Okay. I mean, I don't want to throw them under the bus either. I'm just saying what they said.
No worries. Yeah. So he's saying that in any case, that 3x125s would be more maneuverable.
Well, what he said was that the wizard frames destroy some of the stock 125s out of the box because of the rocker. So if you have a completely flat 3x125, then the wizard frame will be more maneuverable. And then he said, let me see. I mean, basically, I don't know. Have you seen the skater Min Lehammer? He showed up on Lino's channel. Well, you know, he was the one who had the videos that first sort of inspired me to pick this up. And, you know, how he moves on tri-skates, you know, I was sort of asking, you know, in my question, because that's sort of how I want to skate. You know, his videos are very cool. And so the guy answering said that it seemed obvious to him from the videos that Min is skating on, you know, he's skating on tri-skates, but his skates have a rocker because otherwise he wouldn't be able to turn how he does. I'm just, you know, what he said on Reddit was that the 3x125 is more maneuverable because it's shorter and lighter. And if I'm understanding what you are saying correctly, the shorter bit has to do with stability. But the maneuverability is based on effective contact. And so the 3x125s, assuming you have the slight rocker from the wheels wearing, means that you have an effective contact of right about 126 millimeters. Whereas if you're on the NR100, you have an effective contact of 101 millimeters, which means that actually, if you use proper technique, then the NR100s are more maneuverable. Is that right?
Yeah, you'll be able to create a sharper turn. So if we do a competition of like escape in a straight line, try to turn with the right technique, you will be able to achieve a sharper turn with the Wizard 100, just because the effective contact will be shorter. Same with skis, like the way they measure the turning radius. So when you buy skis based on like the important measurement is how wide the ski is under your foot to kind of tell you how it's going to float on the snow.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more narrow, it's going to be faster. It's designed more for packed snow. If it's wider, it's going to be better for powder. But then the really important measurement is the radius. It's the R measurement. So that measurement of the radius will be affected by the side cut. So like how the side of the ski is designed. So if the side, if they if the center of the ski is a lot skinnier than the upper, like the out, the top and the bottom of the ski, that would make the ski turn a lot sharper. Like it would create, so as soon as you lean over, the front and the back, like the tail, the nose and the tail will engage, and that will kind of initiate your turn a lot faster and a lot sharper. Versus if the ski is very straight, so if the ski is just as wide in the center as it is on the top bottom, then when you lean over, the ski is not actually going to turn.
Okay, I think I see. I mean, and so, you know, this is... Yeah, I mean, and again, I haven't skied, so, but the concept makes sense. And, you know, this is why I wanted to sort of get your view on things, too, because I understand, obviously, you've been skating these a lot longer, and so there's people that maybe own Wizard skates that haven't really, you know, maybe they skate them just how they skate other things, and, you know, they don't know all the benefits and that sort of thing. So I just want to confirm. So what you're saying is that the Wizard skates are more stable because the wheelbase is longer, even if those wheels aren't all on the ground, because like we talked about, what makes skates stable is how long the frame is, regardless of how many wheels are on the ground, because of the leaning, right? And then they're also more maneuverable because they have a shorter effective contact distance from the two wheels on the ground.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I guess the question is like, maneuverable, or this one is kind of like, it depends what the person defines as maneuverable. For someone, a light frame, if they're not using the right technique, the lighter the frame, the easier it would be to maneuver that frame.
Yeah.
If you maneuver it based on force, not technique. So, but if you're using the right technique, you'll be able to get, I wouldn't say more maneuverability, but more, a higher turning radius.
That's, yeah.
A shorter effective contact is equal a shorter turning radius.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, and I think perhaps the point, and he did mention weight specifically, and again, you know, I don't know that much about skates, so it's entirely possible I'm just reading what he's saying incorrectly too, but he mentioned specifically shorter and lighter, which, since it is shorter, that's going to have a lot to do with the weight, right? And my understanding of it is that most 3x125 frames, I mean, they're not milled solidly, you know, they're composite or they have extrusion or whatever. So they're a lot lighter, the frames themselves, too. And that would make the skates, because they're shorter and because they're lighter, in one sense, that makes it easier to move your feet around, right? In whatever, and if that's how you define maneuverability, then yeah, sure, they're more maneuverable, but they don't have a tighter turning radius. All right, that makes a lot more sense, right? And see, this is the sort of thing that I wanted to sort of hammer out, because it's hard on the outside to figure out, you know, there's a lot of marketing that goes on too, right? And, you know, Power Slide, for example, on their website have all this stuff about, you know, 3x125 skates retain the maneuverability of a 4x80 skate, blah, 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 right? And it's hard when you haven't skated very much to say whether, well, sort of, maybe, but maybe not, right? And, you know, it depends on your rocker and all that sort of stuff, too. All right, so I think I've got this more or less under control, like we've talked about. So the stability...
I want to say it's awesome that you're asking those questions, and I take it as, you know, challenging for me to explain it. And, like, we made the Wizard frame in 20... We started making it in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... we don't have a lot of marketing or a lot of, like, explanation why it works. It just... it takes a while to figure out the right terminology to not create, like, any gimmicks, but just to explain how... logically, how... kind of what affects your performance. And I guess the whole, like, video that Sean made was us slowly figuring out how to communicate, I guess, the benefits of the Wizard frame. So the whole effective contact is not even a term that existed in skating
yeah.
until this deal was made.
Yeah, I mean, and I saw that, and you know, I understood the frame base and all that great stuff. I did not know what effective contact meant, and I sort of said, okay, well, that's the distance between wheels, right? But I hadn't put together that when you are only on two wheels, that means that's what's touching the ground.
And that was a great question, because I, like, when this video came out, and you can see, like, the date of it, and honestly, if you look online, I don't think you'll be able to find anything within the skating kind of terminology that would even mention that term, effective contact. We actually took it from skiing.
Yeah.
So in skiing, it's not called effective contact. It's called effective edge. So, for example, on a ski, like, you know how it would have the nose and the tail would rise in some cases earlier than others? Like, sometimes it would be very little, like, rise at the top, at the front and flat in the back, and in some cases it would rise a lot earlier.
Is it sort of like the rocker for skates?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay.
And they call it effective edge. So the closer your kind of point with the ground, it's considered in skiing, it's a shorter effective edge. They don't call it contact. But it's the same kind of concept. It's like, what part of the ski is actually on the ground? So you have the length of the ski, which is could be like 180 centimeters, but if the ski design in a specific shape is designed more for freestyle, then the contact, the effective edge would be, say, 100, 160, and on a racing ski in the same length, the effective edge would be 170. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just the effective edge will affect the application of the ski, if it's going to be more for freestyle or more for free ride or racing. So essentially, you can't always judge a ski just based on the length, because in some cases, a longer ski, if it's designed in the correct way, might be more maneuverable and easier to control than a shorter ski.
But you have to have the right form for it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, this is different. In this case, you don't have to have any technique.
No.
Like, it's not about technique. And that's why it's called effective edge. So as soon as you lean over to that edge, yeah, maybe there is something to do with technique there, but I think it was...
It's less so, maybe.
It's more noticeable in the ski. Like, the shorter your effective contact, you would feel it a lot. Like, instantly, you just lean over to the side and you see, like, okay, my front of the ski is X millimeters in front of me, and the back of the ski, like, you can kind of feel how far your ski reaches out.
Right.
Based on not the length of the ski, based on the edge that is connected to the ground. So you can really feel when that effective edge is longer, because it's much harder to turn. I don't know if I'm...
But, yeah, it's a good analogy. I mean, particularly probably for people in Canada that do ski. You know, I've seen snow like five times in my life. So, you know, I think I've got the idea now. So this was one of the main things I wanted to get down, because it was hard for me to see, like, from the outside, how this could work. You know, because it seems sort of counterintuitive, right? You'd think having a longer frame would inherently make it less maneuverable, right? But...
And that's basically skating for years and till now. That's the common understanding. So if you talk to any expert up until like the past few years, where I feel like the wizard frame challenges the norm.
Yeah.
Like, or up until we made the wizard frames, like, any wheels that are 90 millimeters or above were always designed for speed skating. Everything about the skate, so the cuff, the height of the cuff, is always going to be lower when the wheels get bigger. That's what's basically the standard in skate. So larger wheels are only good. Sorry, I'm just getting interrupted here. I kind of lost my point there, sorry.
That's cool. I mean, I've seen speed skates. They don't have any ankle support, right? Which means you can't jump with them and that sort of thing. You know, it just never made a lot of sense to me. I guess they're lighter, but yeah. Okay. So I don't know. I don't want to keep you. That was the big question. I have more. It depends what your time is like. I mean, you just tell me if I'm taking up too much of your time and so on.
Like I said, it is helpful for me to talk to you because, that helps me better explain it in the future. So it's challenging and, you know, of course, it could take time. And
sure, yeah.
But I see the value in it. But just kind of finding, if I can kind of nail it down to explain it to you, or you can help me understand, that would kind of make life easier for a lot of people in the future. So,
sure, I mean, and that's sort of why I'm recording it too, because it'll help me go back over it later. You know, I'd be happy to type some of this up and say, well, you know, so here's the conventional wisdom, right? Here's what people say about frame lengths and versus, well, here's what it's actually like and here's why, right? And that was sort of what I wanted to get out of this was that from the videos I've seen you and Sean and other people put out, it seems like you're doing things that shouldn't be possible with the frame length, which means that it's what you guys are doing, not the inherent, you know, it's not, I mean, what was the right way? Like, you're doing something different, right? And I knew there was an explanation for it, but I just couldn't see it from the videos, for example. Okay, well, so if I go on to some of my other questions, you know, Sean explains in his video that the frames have, like, a slight downward slope. So the front wheels, you know, like, you're like, leaning forward a little bit, right?
That's right, yeah.
And could you just explain why we would want that? Is it just like the stance it puts you in?
So, first of all, we use the Wizard frames on the UFS boot. So
right.
The UFS boots are flat. And if we kind of go back to, so when we designed the Wizard frames, it was a question, okay, what's the actual application of the frame? And the application for the frame is mostly skating, kind of casual all around, to have a skate that can kind of do everything.
Right.
Comparing to skiing, again, it's your all mountain ski that can kind of handle all terrain for most users, kind of like the most common setup. And with traditional stuff, for this type of skating, it was always designed with the elevated heels. Because when you're skating forward, having your knees bent a little bit puts you in the correct position, kind of positions your weight in the right place.
Yeah.
And prevents you from falling back also.
So it just more naturally puts you in the right balance zone.
Yeah. If you skate forward, whether you like it or not, your wheels would wear out in a way where you're slowly going to create more and more forward tilt.
Yeah.
Because your front, if you're skating forward, your front wheels would wear out more than the back, meaning that your second wheel would wear out more than the third. So the smaller the second wheel gets, the more you're going to lean forward with time.
Right. And, I mean, that was just something, I mean, I understand why that happens, but, you know, the reasons for why you would want this in the first place aren't necessarily just because the wheels wear down that way. The reason why you want it is because it helps you balance better, right?
Yeah, and the way I look at it is the reason your wheels wear out in a certain way is because the wear of the wheels shows you how your body wants to move.
Yeah.
So it's almost when you get the skate, it's restricting you to move in a natural way. And over time, by the areas that resist your movement the most, they're going to get the most wear. But that's why your front wheel gets the most wear, because it just gets in your way the most, basically.
Does this...
The longer the frame, the more it's going to kind of get. the harder it will be to turn.
Does this mean that the wizard frame, since you have that, do they wear more evenly then? Because they take sort of that out of your way more?
Yeah, exactly. So in general with wheel rotation, so I don't know if you researched about this, but kind of the traditional wheel rotation that people would do is they would take the wheel that wears out the most or the wheel that wears out the least.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of the common way of rotating wheels. The way the wizard trains, we would rotate wheels, or the way I would advise everyone to rotate their wheels. At the end of the day, I guess it depends what's the purpose. Like, why are you rotating the wheels? Is it to make the skate feel the best, or make the wheels last the longer?
Mm-hmm.
With compromising how the skate feels. But I think in both cases, and that's not scientifically proven, but in both cases, if you just split the wheels in the same position instead of rotating them between themselves, you will get the most even wear, and they would last you the longest. Unless you're an extreme case where you maybe slow down with your front wheel and then you wear out one wheel significantly faster than the rest,
yeah,
that might be an exception. But if we're talking about the general public, like 80% of the people, for most purposes, they would wear out their wheels exactly the same, because they all are human and they're all trying to move in the same way.
Right. Well, I guess what I was sort of asking was, if you have these skates that develop a natural rocker over time, right, like say a 4x80 skate, and the wheels wear, so the front wheel wears more, like the most, the back wheel wears like second the most, and then the inner wheels, right?
Yeah.
Well, does having the wizard in that configuration naturally mean that the wizard wheels actually all wear just about the same because you're already in that configuration and they resist the body's natural movement more? So that means that do the front wheels on the wizard skate still wear more than the middle wheels, for example?
So as the wheels wear out, that they would wear out slower. So initially, your front wheel would get a lot of wear on a flat frame, but over time, gradually, it would get less and less wear because it's off the ground.
Right. And so that sort of, once you've gotten to that position that's natural for your body, then the wheels don't wear out anymore, right? Or as much.
Out, but they wear out in like a more, a more consistent way. You know, like they get more even wear the further along with the natural rocker you go.
And so that means that since the wizard frames already have the natural rocker, the wheels do wear more evenly then. Is that right?
Exactly. And, yeah, so kind of future plans with wizard frames is like, how can we make the wheels in a way that you don't even have to rotate them or flip them or do anything? So it's a framework design with 100% accounting for the human movement, then the wheels shouldn't be rotated at all. They should just be kind of shaped in a way or angled in a way that will allow them to wear out evenly, evenly to a point that you wouldn't even have to rotate them.
All right, that makes pretty good sense.
So,
yeah.
But that's like in the future, if we kind of figure out how to make, but the wheels always wear out on the inside of the frame as well.
Right.
So if we can kind of angle them in a certain way where they wouldn't get that wear, they would wear both sides equally, that will be the optimal way to position wheels under a human.
Yeah. Okay. And so I guess one more question on the rocker. My understanding is that the front wheel is a little bit more rocker than the back wheel. Is that right?
Nope. They're all exactly the same.
Okay. So you have the forward tilt, and then the rocker on the wheels is what, like 1 millimeter? Can you explain? I'm just trying to visualize this. So I know the third wheel is the lowest, right? And then the second, and then the first, and the last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the way we designed it, because we also made like 5-wheel frames, so we kind of went and trying to figure out how to create, instead of thinking about it in millimeters, like in 1 or 2 millimeters rocker, we're thinking about as to what angle you're allowing your body to tilt forward or backward when you transition from 2 wheels to the next 2 wheels. So when you transition from one position to the next, doesn't matter what size frames you have, the forward tilt angle would be equivalent. It will allow you to like lean forward 0.67 degrees. And that was by making it, we started by doing it 1 millimeter, so it's pretty much 1 millimeter.
So what you're saying is that if you start skating on the back 2 wheels, so wheels like 4 and 3, and then you shift to 3 and 2, and from and then to 2 and 1, that the transitions between those are all the same.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe on the 4-wheel frame, it's more like, oh, okay, it's just 1 millimeter rocker. But when we got into like the 5-wheel frame, it was really important for us to like really know the angles that you're getting, to because that changed, like, you know, how much do you raise it from one wheel to the next. It was the measurements are kind of off. It's not like 1 millimeter here, 2 millimeters there, 3 millimeters there. So this way we just designed it by the angle that that seems to be the most
that makes a lot of sense, right? And then, so even if the millimeters of rock are a little bit different, it's just because that's what you need to get the right angle.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the bigger the wheels, the further the distance between them will be.
Right.
And it will require a higher rocker to get your body into that same forward tilt.
And so that means that the 100 millimeter wizards and the 110 millimeters have the same angles, but the rocker is different because of the wheel size, is that right?
Exactly. So the 110, even though technically they give you the same lean, they're a lot less maneuverable because the effective contact is so much larger.
Yeah.
And the frame is heavier, so it's like it takes a little bit maybe more technique and things like that.
All right, yeah. I mean, that was the next thing. I mean, the wheel size, I think I've got a pretty good grasp based on, you know, understanding effective contact and turning. So the 110 millimeter skates, I mean, they'd be faster, a little bit smoother over rough ground, right? But you'd lose, you'd have a 10 more millimeter effective contact, so they'd turn less well, right? I mean, those are the big differences.
Yeah, but when we're saying turn less well, it kind of depends what you do. So if you're doing slalom skating when you need your turns to be really, like, tight and go through the cone, then, it would be pretty limiting. But if you don't mind having, like, a wider turn, like, what I'm trying to say with the 110, there's not too many situations where I feel like I cannot create a sharp enough of a turn.
Yeah. I mean, and I was definitely going to ask this because, you know, I think I mentioned in my email, my feet are almost between sizes. You know, I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'4". So you would think I have, like, huge feet, but my feet are right about, like, 12 and a half. Or is that right? Hold on. No, 28 and a half centimeters long, right? So they're not huge. And so that puts me, you know, I think 29 is the cutoff where you recommend people go from 100 millimeter wheels to 110 millimeters. And, you know, I was just going to ask, because I think you skate 110s, right?
My foot is really small and I'm a small guy. I really like the 110 for the length.
Yeah.
But I prefer the 100 for the feel.
Because I know Sean skates the hundreds, right?
Yeah, Sean. It's funny because I kind of feel like everyone started with the 90s, and everyone went to 110s. Because as soon as you understand, if you use the 90s, it's the easiest kind of adoption into wizard skating because you realize, oh, wait a second, this 90 feels like a traditional 80 millimeter frame.
Yeah.
And once you understand how to use that maneuverability, how to lean back, you use the technique to initiate the turn, then you realize that you can handle a longer frame. And once you realize that, you kind of want to explore how long can you go. And that seems to be like the process of everyone. Everyone starts with 90, then they move up to 110 potentially, and then they usually maybe like something wider that might be a little more. The 110s are, they work really well, but I feel like for some users it might be a little bit too heavy, and that's something that we might over time consider and like reduce the weight on the 110 specifically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I was just curious. You mentioned, and you know, this was the only question. So, I mean, the skating I'm looking to do is sort of like what Min does, right? Having the fast flowing through crowds of people and the really smooth skating and stuff. And so I think I'd like the extra speed and the stability from the 110s. It would just be a question of, well, would I lose any turning that I'd need, right? And based on what you're saying... Sorry, what did you say? Okay, well, I mean, just based on what you're saying, it's not like the 110s are so unmaneuverable because the effect of contact goes up that for most situations you can't turn with them. It's just, in theory, they don't turn quite as well. And, I mean, I'm not really planning on doing slalom stuff, so, like... I mean, I guess I was just asking, you know, you mentioned that a lot of people, like, start on the 90s and go to the 100s and go to the 110s. Well... I'd like to do that, but you know, I don't have that much money, right? And so, yeah. Sort of based on what I would be interested in doing, it sort of seems like having the bigger wheels, you know, would give you more speed, and let you go over, you know, rougher pavement and stuff. Would you see problems with starting with the 110s when you're learning the wizard skating? Or, I mean, because I think. I technically fall in the recommended size for 100, but I'm on the very upper end. So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, you're right. And your height is a big factor. And in the store, like we sell more and more wizard skates to regular people off the street. And for bigger guys, I feel like the 110s is what they feel most confident in.
Okay.
So when you go over rougher surfaces, kind of gives you all those benefits that you would want because you're a bigger guy, you put a lot more pressure on the skate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just relatively the geometry of the skate for those sizes and for your height. Like you said, yeah, 6'4".
Yeah, 6'4".
A little bit smaller than what have like a slightly shorter foot and a slightly more height.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure if it needs to be based more on the foot length or more on the height.
Well, I mean, you know, I was going to ask this because I have a bunch of my heights in my legs too. So when I'm sitting like around normal sized humans, like if I'm sitting in a chair, I guess I have sort of bad posture too because I'm big, but like normally my torso isn't so much longer than a lot of other people. It's just a lot of my height's in my legs. So my waistline goes up to most people's chest level. And so, you know, I don't know about the foot size, but yeah, given that I am 6'4", you do think it would be reasonable for me to just start out in the 110 frames?
Yeah, for sure. It might be a little more challenging at first, but that's based on all the kind of testing that was done and all the people in the stores that bought them, unless they're using it for a specific purpose, like, you know, they're like someone who's been skating aggressive skates all their life and they still want to be jumping around and doing, like, filming tricks and stuff, not your typical kind of cruising, slow stuff, then they might want something like the 90s, potentially, something really short and really nimble where they can accelerate really easy. But for most cases, most users, with your measurements, the 110s will be the more
Yeah. Well, I mean, particularly since what I do want to do is more of that cruising. You know, I'd like to be at higher speeds. I'd like to have the more stability. And, you know, it just makes sense in that regard as well.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to say earlier about Min, and so with Min, his background, he's an aggressive skater, and a lot of the guys that are doing the three-wheel or the wizard skates, most of them come from aggressive skating, and they've been skating for 20 years, and they're really stable, and they can make any skate look good, basically.
Right, so, and that was what...
A lot of cases they... yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that was one of the guys on Reddit said, is that I was asking all these questions, and he sort of said, you know, I was using Min as an example, and he sort of said, well, Min could skate good on anything, you know, yeah. And sort of like, this isn't a skate question, this is a skater's ability question, and when you have someone like that who's been skating for 20 years, well, yeah, that doesn't mean that the skates aren't important, and that you can't talk about design and stuff, but if he has that kind of balance, then... he can skate it and make it look good just because he's so good, right? And
exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what kind of maybe didn't allow skating to progress is because the equipment is always, like, tested on really good skaters.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's not enough equipment being tested in, like, a practical situation.
Sure. Well, I mean, and what most people do with skating, too, right? Because, I mean, you know, if I think about what I want to do, now, I don't strictly want to commute with them. You know, this is going to be fun for me, right? It's a good hobby. It's good exercise and so on. But, I mean, I kind of want to go fast, and I want to be able to stop if I need to, you know, slide, magic slide. And I want to be able to go through people. Because one of the big benefits skates have over bikes is that you can actually go on sidewalks and not freak people out. And you know, that's what I want to do with skates, right? And bigger skates, they make more sense in that, right? Whereas if you want to jump off ledges and grind rails and stuff, well, then bigger skates don't make as much sense. But most people don't do that, right? So, okay. So,
yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that's most of the questions I had from my first email. You know, I can ask a couple more things. Like I said, if I'm ever taking too much time, just say, you know. But I have a couple other things. So we sort of talked. I mean, I know that bigger wheels have less rolling resistance, which means that hypothetically the 125 millimeters are probably a little bit faster, right? So if you had like a 3x125 versus the 4x110, then the 125s would probably be a little bit faster than the 110 wizard frames, right?
I would say yes, but I have a setup like a Seva Trick 325 that I've been using quite a bit so if I have to go ship packages, I just quickly throw them on, so they're really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they perform better, but in a very specific application. And the application is if I'm moving at a reasonable speed on really smooth surface, that's where they perform best. Meaning that if the surface is a little rougher and I'm not moving fast, I'm constantly losing my balance.
Yeah, I see. And I'm assuming the faster you go, the harder they get too, right? Because you have that shorter wheelbase and they're harder to balance, right?
Yeah. So you kind of have to almost, like, crouch down faster you're moving if the surface is a little rougher. And in practicality, most surfaces that you would be on, they're not going to be perfect.
No.
Unless you're only skating on, like, a smooth pathway by your house, and you're always going to be skating on that kind of pathway, then the three wheel could be, or it will be, like, a nicer, like, light setup.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm planning on skating basically everywhere I can. So, you know, and some of the roads around here are better than others, but some are not the best, and sidewalks aren't always great, and so on. So, Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I think, and that's sort of what I wanted to confirm, you know, they have a higher theoretical speed because they have less inherent rolling resistance, but unless you're going really, really fast, I'd guess for most people it doesn't really make that big a difference, right? Because most people aren't consistently skating around at speeds like 25 miles per hour or whatever. So.
Exactly. Yeah, in reality, yeah, you're never going to need more speed than what you can get with like a nice 100 setup.
Yeah.
It would be pretty tough to... Yeah, you'll have to be a really good skater to kind of maximize the speed of 100.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so particularly, I mean, and like I said, with the 110s, I mean, 110s is not that much smaller than 125s, right? So would you ever really be able to justify the jump in wheel size based on speed alone? And from my understanding of it, it's not that 110s, I mean, speed skaters use 110s, for example, so it's not like they're that much slower, right? And so would you ever need that extra speed versus the other benefits that 110s give you, like the shorter turning radius and stuff? Right, so.
Yeah, yeah, and like now in speed skating, if people are doing a long marathon, the 3-125 seem to be almost like a better setup because it's a little bit lighter and it does have large wheels, so you get probably a little bit more speed.
Yeah.
But they're spaced out really far, so they give you a similar wheelbase. So very similar stride, a very similar glide, but they're just a little bit lighter. So,
well, they're also harder to maneuver, right? Because they don't have any rocker, and so your wheelbase, like your effective contact, is your wheelbase, right? And
yeah. And same with the 4-110.
Yeah.
Any speed setup, the goal would be to not have any rocker.
And is that because? Is that because when you have flat skates, do they transfer power more effectively? If you have more wheels on the ground, like, do you go faster because of that?
You'll have a more powerful push. So with speed skating, you want to release off four wheels at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So if not all your wheels are in contact, then you can't transfer as much energy. You're losing some of it. And also when you're moving at a high speed, you want all your wheels to be on the ground. So you don't get any wobble. So if they're all connected to the ground, you'll get less wobble than if some of them are like off the ground.
Right. But the Wizard Frames, for example, probably wouldn't develop wobble at the speeds most people would go with them, right? You just have to be going really fast, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see other things I was going to ask. Considering, you know, and I guess I'm not probably going to go that fast, but can you do stuff like the double push technique for speed skating on Wizard Frames, or is that something that you really
for
need?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's what more depends on your boost and technique. But yeah, the higher the boost, the harder it would be to do because you have less ankle. Do you mind holding on just a second?
Sure.
How are you? I can't remember what skate were you looking at? Oh. Was it those ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool, and they're like...
No.
They're, oh, with the... Yeah. Quinton, it's the FR384 Intuition. I think this was the extra small. Extra small. Okay, yeah, the extra.